Scripture lesson today comes from the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter, and on. Hear this word from the Lord. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir, no one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? And he said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, and a female goat 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. And when the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. And from the Gospel of Luke comes this somewhat difficult text, starting in the 13th chapter, the 31st verse. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Jesus said to them, Go and tell that fox, For me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The city that kills prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together? As a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was pastoring in Nebraska, I had the privilege of reuniting with a seminary friend of mine who had been a pastor in Colorado and New York and then landed in Nebraska as well. And she would say things to me like, I will never again preach about sheep, having lived in New York. And I thought that was strange, but she said to me, you know, we think we know about sheep and shepherds, but when I was in New York, I had sheep farmers in my congregation. And so I didn't preach about sheep because I wasn't sure I'd get it right. Because obviously the farmers knew more about sheep than I did. Well, today I am relying heavily on a sermon from Sharon Snap Colas, because we're going to talk about chickens. And for the same reason my friend didn't want to talk about sheep, I don't really want to talk about chickens, because I don't know nothing about no chickens. But I will ask you, how many of you have raised chickens in your lifetime? Oh, there are a few, okay. How many of you like chickens or have been around chickens? Okay. How many of you like Kentucky Fried Chicken? How about that? By far the winning, okay, the winning hand there. All right, good. All right, so we begin today with a story about a mother hen and chicken hawks. Chicken hawks, when they go after their prey, set off the mother hen. She knows about the presence of the hawk, and she gathers her chicks under her wing. With a furious fuss, she squawks until they're all safe. And she fluffs out her wings and protects them with her own body. The chicken hawk will dive, and the old hen will turn her body toward him or away from him, moving with the children under her wings. And that predator may come in for the kill several times, but the mother will spread her wings wider and take in the chicks. And finally, the notion of self-sacrifice, that the mother hen is willing to give, almost always thwarts the chicken hawk's attempts. She's too big a target, and the chicks are too safe underneath her when the chicken hawk comes to attack. Today we hear this very unusual image of Jesus saying he wishes he was like a mother hen who could take in the children of Jerusalem. Now, this story needs some background for us. Understand that Jesus hates. No, not hates. Jesus doesn't hate. But Jesus is appalled by Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great. Now, you'll remember Herod the Great is the one who, when Jesus was just a baby, wanted all the boy babies in Galilee killed. Herod Antipas is his son, thought to be a collaborator of the Roman government, not respected at all by the Jews of his time for exactly that reason. In fact, Jesus refused to preach in the city's most associated with Antipas. Sepphoris, which was a place where Jesus would have sold his wares as a young boy and a carpenter, Herod's first capital, and Tiberias, which was built to replace it. Antipas is a bad leader. He is corrupt. He wants only to harm the people and use them for his own purposes. He has hurt the people Jesus most longs to protect. And here Jesus calls him a fox. And this, dear ones, is not like when that cute fraternity boy says, "You are a fox." Jesus uses this term almost as an expletive, referring to Herod. In the Jewish context of the day, fox was associated with treachery and destruction. Herod and his supporters want to lead the people to a new world where Rome is the center. Rome, not Judaism, not the God of Israel, but Rome. Jesus, on the other hand, has come to call the people to repentance and faith. In Luke's gospel in particular, Herod is seen as the prime enemy of Jesus, the one who plots Jesus' execution on the cross. And Jesus longs to gather in under his wing the children of Israel, the people of Jerusalem, to protect them from the fox in the hen house, if you will. Jesus' lament over Jerusalem: as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, so Jesus longs to gather and protect his children from the onslaught of a world that tries to draw us away from our faith, draw us away from God, and draw us away from the community of the people of God. Theologian named Bernard Nord paraphrases Jesus' words here, saying this: our Savior, in a mysteriously strange moment, a moment which he is warned his life is in jeopardy, says to the messengers of the threat, go and tell the one who threatens like a fox in a chicken coop, or a coyote in a rabbit hutch. Go and tell that fox that I will not flee like a frightened rabbit. Rather, tell that threatening fox that the one he thinks is vulnerable, a pregnant quail is casting out demons. Tell him that the one he thinks is a tasty little bunny is casting out demons. Tell the fox, rather than hovering and quivering beneath the shelter of palms, the one whom he threatens is curing the world today and tomorrow and the next day. Tell the fox that one day, the third day, spoken metaphorically, of course, the work will be finished, all will be cured. And the fox will be chased away forever. Go and tell that fox. Jesus seeks to gather the people together and protect them from the ravages of sin and death, the ravages of corruption and turmoil. And he is marching in a tradition that is great when he says he wants to gather them in under his wings. Hear what the psalmist says: hide me in the shadow of thy wings. In the shadow of thy wings I will take refuge till the storm of destruction passes by. Oh, to be safe under the shelter of thy wings. In the shadow of thy wings I sing for joy. Under his wings, you will find refuge. But in Luke 13, we see there are those who are not willing to take refuge under Jesus' wings, not willing to receive Jesus' offer of love and protection and comfort. How often do we refuse Jesus' love? How often do we reject the shelter of God's wings, preferring rather our own power and wisdom, ignoring the help that God in Christ can provide? The help that is freely offered us throughout history from the beginning of time and throughout eternity beyond the end of time. The help that God offers most fully in the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. How often do we refuse Jesus' love? You know, there is another image, another place in the Bible where the image of gathering together, of brooding, comes in. It is in the very beginning. Literally, in the beginning. In Genesis. Where God is brooding over the creation. God takes so much care and so much time and so much effort and so much love in bringing about the creation. God is said to be brooding over it. Like that mother hen. And yet, two chapters later, we find Adam and Eve refusing that very love that God has offered in creation. Rejecting that which God offers, disobeying that which God has provided. How is it, dear friends, that we refuse the love of Jesus? Glenn Ludwig tells another story about it, or another chicken story. It's about a mother duck, actually, rather than a mother chicken, but this, you'll get the point. Says this past summer there was a young mother mallard with her brood. It was interesting to watch how she took care of all seven of them. When anyone approached the lake, she became immediately aware and would gather her little brood together and hustle them along to hide in the reeds or the brush that surrounded the edge of the lake. Once someone went really close to get a better look, and she flew away. He says, I was surprised at first at a mother abandoning her young, but then it became obvious to me what she was up to. She was offering herself as a decoy. She wanted the intruders to notice and follow her and keep away from the ducklings. She was willing to sacrifice herself in order to protect her children. This perhaps helps us understand the lament and the passion in Jesus' own voice. It is the cry of a mother who is worried to death, not only about Jerusalem, but about all of us. Like a mother, Jesus sees far more clearly than we do. The children are in danger. Jesus knows we tend to overestimate our own powers and are prone to go off on our own, leaving the protective wings that surround us, seek our own excitement and adventure. Like a mother hen, Jesus gathers us in. Get the image? Jesus' love is so great. His all-consuming passion is to sweep us up in his protective arms. And although there are others in pursuit of him, namely Herod in this text, Jesus is very persistent. He sticks to what love compels him to do. He pursues his flock with passion. He answers to Herod in a way that shows that he has a little work to do yet in Galilee. Few more chicks to sweep beneath his wings. There, and then he is headed to Jerusalem, where he, in essence, will fly off from his chicks alone and draw God's judgment to himself, so that the jaws of death might sink their teeth into his flesh only. Leave his children alone. whom he loves with protective passion. God shows God's love to us in extraordinary ways in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus our Christ, who seeks only to protect us from sin and death. Thanks be to God.